Good morning. It's nice to be with you today. I would say hello to many of you from here, but I would leave some people out that I needed to say hello to. I will mention I'm sitting with my niece, Heather. I don't know if you knew Heather Roberts is my niece. You were born in Australia, weren't you? There you go. You got a little Aussie there. We got some Kiwis that were born in New Zealand, people that I know and love, and it's good to be with you today. Thank you for supporting Affirming the Faith. I think that's just a really outstanding program, good lessons, just trying to encourage people, help people strengthen their faith and grow in their faith. And for some, I think they ran low of speakers and they asked me to speak this year, teach a class. That was weird. But anyway, I'm glad they did. It's good to be with you this morning. And Debbie, can you believe this? 37 years ago today, our son Heath was born in Australia. Crazy. I mean, can you, Debbie and Charlie had Jordan a few weeks after that. We were young couples then, planting a church, having children, living life in Australia, and it was good times. I have a bunch of stories I could tell about Heather. But maybe you will just ask her later. I would just say it was really a blessing having being able to work with my brother Dale and his wife Sheila and their children, and having cousins on the mission field for our kids was really a beautiful thing. And we had some adventures, didn't we, Heather? Some really big adventures. And God was able to work through our team to help a number of people come to know Christ. And some people said, I could have never worked with my brother. One of us would have killed the other one. Well, Dale and I, it was surprising. We had as many disagreements as me and the other two guys on the mission team. We grew up in the same family, same everything, but we disagreed on some things, but we loved each other and sorted that out. And that's what we have to do, isn't it? We would periodically, I think he was usually right, but anyway, we would work together and sort it out. And guys, that's what we do. For you children in here, hello children. Can I just say, what a beautiful thing to be part of a church. Where else in the world do you get to interact with people who are older than you, people your parents' age, kids your age, all trying to learn about God? And I know you look at people like me. My hair, I don't know when it turned this color. And when all these wrinkles appeared from wherever, you know. But older people have some good wisdom and experience. Just because someone is old does not mean they're wise. Can we say that? But usually people are older. They've had years of experience. They've gone through some things. And the people here that are older than you really want to help you. They really want to help you to grow and become more like God and have a good life. And the best life is in Jesus. And they want you to learn that and know that. And so thank you for the older people who are here. That song about someday my voice will go south. Well, mine's gone south. And that happens to us. But I hope we'll keep our enthusiasm for the Lord, our love for the Lord, and keep serving Him. The title of my sermon this morning is, and a lot of this is for, well, it's for all of us, but especially for the young people, the children, maybe the teens, young adults. The title of my sermon is, Nobody Can Make You. A lot of times we feel a bit of pressure, maybe from our parents, that we feel like they're trying to make us follow God. Or maybe we're like, that preacher up there, he's trying to make me follow God, and I don't want to do that. Or Rabbi, whoever. And we have this feeling that people are trying to make us. Guys, do you remember the first story in the Bible, Genesis, creation of Adam and Eve, and everything was perfect, and God said, just don't eat from that tree. Did He make them not do that? No. He gave them a choice what they should do. Whenever they went over and started to take, I think it was a mango. Do you think it was a mango? I don't. Whatever the fruit was, I love mangoes. Whatever the fruit was, He didn't get up and say, no, stop it. No, you can't do that. He gave them a choice. And guys, God gives us the choice today to follow him or to not. What does he want? He wants us all to follow him. He wants us all to be on his side, in his church, living for him. But guys, nobody can make you. You have to choose and decide. Parents and adults, we have to decide. And sometimes it's a continual decision through our life, isn't it? Points in our life, some things will happen. It will be challenged. Do I keep following God when things are falling apart all around me? And sometimes the things we had in our mind maybe weren't correct biblically, but we were just optimistic. Everything would go our way. Believe me, for my wife and I, everything has not always gone our way. I mean, everything hasn't always gone our way. We've had some stuff to deal with we never thought we would be dealing with, because we were in ministry, we were missionaries, we were reading Bible stories to our children every night. I was coaching them in basketball, coached Heather in running, and I coached all the kids, my nieces and nephews and other kids, and we were doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden some things happened that just were almost unbearable. We've been to meetings for years and years with parents, and we go to these meetings and half of them are divorced because of why we're there is why they're there, and it is so hard on a marriage. And you have to decide again, do we keep following God even though this is just going crazy and tearing us up? We all have choices we have to make. And nobody can make you keep following God. It's a personal decision you have to make and I have to make. Guys, I want to read Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And some people call this the great invitation from Jesus. And you're very familiar with this passage, I'm assuming. And Jesus says, come to me. I'm going to say that again. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. What does Jesus say? Come on. Come to me. Guys, but nobody can make you do that. How many people have you talked to, you've invited them to come follow Jesus, and they've said no? Or how many people do you know that you've worked with? Come to Jesus. He's going to help you carry your burdens. You put the yoke on, he's going to be pulling part of that yoke, and you're going to have part of it, but he's going to help you with that. Nobody can make you do that. Nobody can make you follow Jesus. Guys, I wish if there's people here this morning that haven't decided to follow Jesus, that this morning they would decide to follow Jesus. They'd say, this is it. I remember when I was a child and a young man, and I decided to follow Jesus, and I said, I'm going with him. Have I always done that perfectly? No, of course not. But I made that commitment. I want to live with Jesus. If you haven't done that, I hope you'll do it today, but I can't make you do it. Your parents can't. Nobody can. It's your choice. And if you remember in Jesus' ministry in John chapter 6, a number of people came to Jesus, they followed him, and then he gave what some people say was a hard saying of Jesus. And in John chapter 6, if you look at verse 60, it says, on hearing this, the hard saying of Jesus, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. Yet some of you do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. And he went on to say this, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many, not a few, but many of his disciples turned back and followed him no longer. Jesus knew some of them were not going to keep following him. And some of them turned right then and decided, we're not good. Jesus didn't go and grab them and slap them around. He didn't yell at them. He didn't call them bad names. He said, I kind of knew this was going to happen. But he let them choose to not follow him anymore. Did he like that? No, he didn't like that at all. Did he want that to happen? No, he didn't want that to happen. And one of the beautiful passages is verse 67. He turns to the apostles and says, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12, and Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. We're going to follow you. We're staying. And nobody made them. They had just decided they'd seen Jesus. They'd lived with Jesus. They'd seen his miracle. They knew he was the Son of God. And they said, we're following him. Guys, nobody can make you come to Jesus. I think I even have 3 points in my sermon today. I'm not a very good outline person, okay? But I think I actually did three points. Point number two, if you're taking notes, is nobody can make you grow in your faith and mature. You can sit in the church building for 40 years and still be at the same place spiritually you were when you became a Christian. You can listen, but you not do any things that you need to do to grow. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and he talks about God gave some to be apostles. I mean, Ephesians 4:11, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. So that's what we're trying to prepare us all to be involved in works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Paul says you can be immature, you can be babies, and you can be just tossed around by everything, or you can make a decision to become mature, to grow in your faith, and become more like Christ. I gave a lesson, that was so many years ago now. I don't know, maybe it's 30 years ago. And one of the people in the congregation who heard it in Australia, he said to me, Why were you preaching at me today? I said, I was preaching at you today. I said, what part? And he said, the stuff about maturing. He said, I think I'm still at the same point when I became a Christian 5 years ago. We talked a little bit in that lesson, and I'll share with you. All of you know, if you have a child, and the child is 1 year old, and they haven't grown any, we know something is wrong. We have a child that gets to be 2 to 3 years old, they're not speaking. We know something's wrong. What do? We go to doctors, we go to specialists, we have people try to help us. Sometimes things can be done, sometimes things can't be done, but we're concerned about that. Spiritually, do we have the same concern if someone is at the same place they were when they became a Christian, or maybe they've grown into a little toddler, but they should be a teenager or an adult? Well, he said to me, I haven't grown. I'm kind of where I was. So we had our come to Jesus meeting at Pizza Hut. That Pizza Hut's not open anymore, but our memories are still there. So he said, it was our friend Frank Cunningham. And Frank said, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And I said, what are you doing now? He said, coming to church. I said, anything else? He said, no. I said, well, let's map out a plan. So we started talking about getting every day reading at least a bit of scripture and then taking some notes. What is God saying to me in this passage? And then acting on that. And I think we went to that passage in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Don't assemble us, assembling ourselves together, but come together to do what? Encourage one another. Guys, Frank is a very shy person. He was then, he's still kind of shy. And so I said, Frank, what does this passage say? He says, well, to encourage one another. I said, are you doing that? He said, no, I'm really shy. I said, I didn't see in the passage where it said, if you're not shy, encourage other people, did you? He said, no, I don't see it in there. I said, well, Frank, start making a little bit of a change. And when you get together, find one person you're going to encourage. You're going to pick them out. How do I do that? And I said, just go up and ask how their week was. Can I pray for something with you? How can I help you? What's going on this week that I can talk with you about, pray about? And so Frank began to do that. He was working at a job an hour and a half away, and he had to be there like at 6 o'clock in the morning. He was getting up some very unreasonable hour. He started getting up 30 minutes earlier than that to read, to study, to pray. And I said, you know, we have a number of churches here in Sydney. Whenever they have something else, let's go and be part of a team to encourage them. You want to do it? So he just got involved and just started doing it. About a year later, you could see a huge growth in Frank. So then we said to him, I don't remember who said that, said, what about teaching a Bible class? And Frank said, I can never do that. I'm too shy. I can never do that. I said, well, why don't we try? So we started working and working. I think we were studying through some really easy to teach book like Ezekiel, you know, or something like that. And I said, do you want to take a lesson? And he said, okay. So we worked on it. Some other guys worked with him on it. And so I said, Frank, do you have it together? He said, I do. I said, how long is your lesson? He said, 45 minutes, I think. I've timed it out, 45 minutes. I said, okay, let's pray. He went in there. He gave his lesson, 15 minutes. As you know, if you're a teacher, first time you do it, it's not going to be like you think. And then he finished. He looked at me and said, what do we do now? I said, what do we do in Australia? We get a cup of tea. Let's have a prayer and have a cup of tea and share in fellowship. And we did. But just steps along the way, growing and maturing in Christ. I gave this lesson to some teens in Australia who know Frank, who he's ministered to them, and he served them, and they love him to death. They didn't know how hard it was for him to do what he's to, but he made that conscious choice. I am going to mature in my faith, which may mean spending more time in study, spending time in fellowship, trying to get outside myself and encourage people a bit more. And if you were with Frank today, he would still be shy, but he's going to push himself out a little bit to try to contact people and let people know about the love of God. Guys, God wants all of us to mature in our faith. But nobody can make you. It has to be a conscious choice. Kids, you've got to decide, am I going to be reading my Bible? Am I going to memorize a little bit of Bible? I remember at one point when I was pretty young, someone encouraged us to memorize scripture. I don't know who it was, but I just got into a big memorizing scripture thing. How do you do that? You just read it over and over. How many of you know any Taylor Swift songs? Okay, go ahead and raise your hand. Yeah, there you go. A few. So how did you learn that Taylor Swift song? You listened to it over and over and over and over. Yeah, and some of you said, I'm not going to raise my hand to that. Well, I was out at OC a few, you know, back in November, and some students came up to me and they said, hey, Kent, did you see the Barbie movie? I said, let me go on record and say no. Well, there's a song in there we'd like you to sing. It's I'm Just Ken. But we'd like you to change it to I'm Just Kent. Ay, ay, ay. So how did I do that? I just kept listening to that stupid Ryan Gosling sing. Doesn't seem to matter what I do. I'm always number two. Anyway, how do you memorize things? You listen to it over and over and over. How do you memorize scripture? You just keep reading it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of the sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. And that man, you know, you just keep saying it. You keep repeating. I would encourage you guys, as you're wanting to mature and grow in your faith, you're putting God's word into your heart. But nobody can make you do that. You have to choose to do it. Some of that will be turning the TV off, or getting those things out of your ears, or not being on the game thing, or something like that, and making some priorities there. And guys, thirdly, did I say 3 points? Yay. Okay, we're on number three. Nobody can make you share your faith. The theme of affirming the faith was sent. And we talked quite a bit about people being sent and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We all know Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything Jesus has commanded you. Guys, I'd like to encourage you to think about who is somebody I know that I could talk to about faith. Ask them if they'd like to learn about God. Share the word of God with them. You know, we have a lot of kids at OC that aren't Christians, aren't we? They're there for what? Sports. Gaming and animation. What is that cybersecurity degree we have now? And they just come for that degree. We have opportunities to teach people. So, guys, I'm encouraging you just kind of look around and think. I don't know if I mentioned, did I mention 37 years ago today our son was born in Australia? Yeah, I think I said that, didn't I? Do you know what happened on that day, guys? As was our third child. None of them, the other two not born in Australia. They just opened up the maternity wing at Campbelltown Hospital. What, Debbie, maybe a few months before that, wasn't it? Not long. And Heath and Jordan were some of the first babies born in that hospital. We go into the hospital, going to have the baby. We didn't know, boy or girl. We chose not to know. We go in, and we're sitting there, and Nancy's in labor. And there's a plastic sheet pulled here, and another lady is over there in labor. We have a 9-pound, 3-ounce boy, and she has like a 4-pound, 10-ounce girl, about half the size of Heath. But they went to the room, and they were in the hospital room. When Nancy had our first child, she was home, I think, the same day. The next child, I think, 2 days in the hospital. Heath, 5 days. She stayed 5 days. And the other lady stayed 5 days. Her name was Cheryl. And they began chatting. And Nancy, during the conversation, at some point, said, would you like to have a Bible study, Cheryl? Cheryl said, no, I'm not into that sort of thing, as most Aussies aren't. She said, not interested at all. And Nancy said, well, where do you guys live? She said, we live in Bradbury. Nancy said, oh, really? We live in Bradbury. Where do you live? And she said, Manuka Crescent. Nancy said, you're kidding me. How close do you live to that little park on Manuka? She said, we're 2 doors down from the park. Do you know the weirdest thing about that, guys? Debbie and Nancy looked at a gazillion homes, didn't you? I mean, we looked at a bunch of, we didn't know what homes were like in Australia. None of them had air conditioning. Is that normal? You know, it was just weird trying to figure all that out. And so the only other house we made an offer on was on Manuka Crescent, the house that lady was living in. How crazy is that? And so when she said, we're in Manuka Crescent, we're 2 doors down, we're at the park. Well, Nancy said again before she left, you sure you don't want a Bible study? Not interested in that at all. 1 year birthday, Heath is one. Kira, her daughter's one. Nancy goes to Manuka Crescent. When she gets to Manuka Crescent, oh, Kira, look how big Kira's gotten. And they said, well, look how big Heath has gotten. You know, he is a big old kid, you know. And so they begin talking. Cheryl, I'm sure, said, would you like a cup of tea? And you always say yes. They went in, and Nancy said, would you like a Bible study? Cheryl said, yeah, I really would. She became a Christian. Later, her husband became a Christian. After lots of drama, shall we say, okay? Lots of drama. Did I say lots of drama? Yeah, lots of drama. And then Their son was one of the boys I ran with in cross country. He would show up at our house a lot of times about 4:45, say, "Hey, can we shoot some hoops?" So he and I'd go out and shoot baskets. He was 5 years older than Kira. We'd shoot baskets, and then I'd say, "Well, it's about dinner time." I said, "You want to eat with us?" He said, "Oh, really? Of course he knew it was dinner time. That's why he'd come." We fed him so many meals. But it all started with, in the hospital, having a baby and saying, "Would you like to learn about God?" Guys, we have so many opportunities that God puts them. I'm just embarrassed sometimes. I don't see them. I don't act on them. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, it's God's will that all people be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. Guys, will everyone be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? No. They certainly won't be saved if we're not talking with them and sharing with them and reaching out to them. Let me just encourage you. You have a loving congregation here. Kids need to know about God and walk with Him. In a few months, people will be moving to town because they've changed jobs, and you'll see them in your neighborhood, new people. When there's transition and change, people are more likely and more willing to make some other changes in their life. All of you parents, what are you looking for your children? Good friends? Where do you find good friends? At a fellowship, at a church where people are loving God and loving each other. Let me just encourage you to look around and see people and try to help them to learn about God. Nobody can make you do that, but we know that God wants us to. Guys, we're in a spiritual battle, as all of us know. Ephesians chapter 6 says that. The forces of evil against the forces of God, and we know what God wants us to do. We know the forces of evil are working day and night through the media, through the news, through every form that can possibly take, social media, etc. And Ephesians 6 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in His," what? "Mighty power." God is stronger than the forces of evil. And then he says, "Put on the whole armor of God," so we can stand against the evil ways and we can win the victory. And I encourage all of us to remember, we're in a battle. These are just a few of the things that we could talk about that we know that God wants us to do. But I'd like to encourage all of us to think, nobody can make you do it. No one's going to have their foot on your neck, twist your arm behind your back. It's your choice to decide to live for God, to come to Him, to grow in your faith, and to share your faith with other people. And I pray that you will do that so that God's church can continue to grow. People can continue to be saved and come to know God and have a life of blessings in Christ. If there's any way we can help you spiritually this morning, we'd love to do that. If you want to say, okay, I want to accept that invitation of Jesus and come follow Him. I want to be baptized into Christ, have my sins taken away, and begin to live a new life with Jesus, we'd encourage you to do that this morning. If there's some other need that you have, we can pray about or talk with you about. Love to do that. If there's any need, let us know. We'll stand and sing together.